Today is Saturday, April 6th, and you're listening to the World Socialist website. "75 Years of NATO, From Cold War to Hot War," by Peter Schwartz. On April 4th, the NATO Military Alliance marked its 75th anniversary. NATO was founded in 1949, less than 4 years after the end of World War II, in the initial years of the Cold War, as an alliance aimed against the Soviet Union. Today, it is plunging mankind into a Third World War. The anniversary was marked by a meeting of NATO foreign ministers in Brussels that was devoted to a major new escalation of the war against Russia in Ukraine. Only a few weeks after French President Emmanuel Macron proposed to send ground troops to Ukraine to fight Russian forces, NATO is preparing to take over the Ukraine Defense Contract Group that coordinates aid to Ukraine. Ukraine's war against Russia is emerging as an operation commanded by NATO. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said NATO support for Ukraine was, quote-unquote, rock solid, and vowed, quote, "Ukraine will become a member of NATO," end quote. The foreign ministers of Germany, France, and Poland, Annalena Baerbock, Stéphane Séjourné, and Radoslav Sikorsky, stated in Politico that NATO powers have given Ukraine over 200 billion euros. They pledged, quote, "Our support will continue for as long as it takes and as intensively as needed," end quote. The NATO powers are presently backing Israel's genocide of the Palestinians in Gaza, which has killed over 40,000 people. This is seen as part of an expanding global war. Quote, "We know that our security is not regional, it is global," end quote, NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg said in his anniversary remarks. Quote, "The war in Ukraine illustrates this clearly. Russia's friends in Asia are vital for continuing its war of aggression. China is propping up Russia's war economy. In return, Moscow is mortgaging its future to Beijing. North Korea and Iran are delivering substantial supplies of weapons and ammunition. In return, Pyongyang and Tehran are receiving Russian technology and supplies that help them advance their missile and nuclear capabilities," end quote. The claim that NATO serves the quote-unquote defense and quote-unquote security of Europe has been a propaganda lie since its foundation. As the Trotskyist movement always insisted, NATO was from the outset a war alliance of the great imperialist powers. When NATO was founded 75 years ago, the magazine Fourth International, which at the time was published by the American Socialist Workers' Party under James Buchanan, declared, quote, "The North Atlantic Pact is not just another military alliance. The immense significance of the events transcends by far its effect on the Cold War for which it is immediately designed," end quote. The crisis of the old imperialist powers of Europe, whose, quote, efforts to, quote-unquote, pacify the insurgent peoples of the East is proving one of the most costly and colossal failures in history, end quote, for whom, quote, "It has become well-nigh impossible to achieve stability at home with their own resources alone," end quote, and who, quote, "are admittedly impotent without outside help, either individually or collectively, to cope with the power of the Soviet Union," end quote, had, quote, "obliged American imperialism to become the caretaker of world capitalism," end quote. The editorial of the Fourth International warned, quote, "But it can only fulfill this role effectively on a global scale. For this reason, we have predicted time and again that the road to world domination must be the road to world war," end quote. These lines are once again of burning relevance today. 75 years after its foundation, NATO is closer to triggering a third world war than ever before. At NATO's foundation in 1949, as the division of Germany was sealed and revolution triumphed in China, NATO pursued a violent counter-revolutionary policy. The US, France, and other NATO imperialist powers waged brutal colonial wars in Indochina, Korea, Algeria, and beyond. NATO went on to back coups in Greece and Turkey and against left-wing nationalist governments across Africa and Latin America to curb the influence of the Soviet Union. In the American ruling elite, however, a conflict broke out over whether to fight the Soviet Union through containment or through a military rollback, risking nuclear war. In the initial period of the Cold War, those in favor of containment gained the upper hand. However, U.S. imperialism never gave up its long-term goal of reversing the achievements of the October Revolution and destroying the Soviet Union. The Cold War ended, however, in 1991, when the Stalinist bureaucracy took the final step in its historical betrayal and liquidated the property relations created by the October Revolution, restored capitalism, and dissolved the Warsaw Pact and the Soviet Union. NATO, which had always justified its existence with the danger allegedly posed by the Soviet Union, did not dissolve itself. As the Fourth International had written in 1949, the founding of NATO, quote, transcends by far its effects on the Cold War, for which it is immediately designed, and that, quote, the road to world domination was the road to world war, end quote. American imperialism saw the dissolution of the Soviet Union as an opportunity to reestablish its world domination and reverse the defeats it had suffered in Korea, Vietnam, and elsewhere. Not satisfied with the fact that Gorbachev, Yeltsin, and later Putin had opened up the Soviet Union to exploitation by international capital, they wanted Russia's colonial subjugation. America's European allies, pursuing their own imperialist interests, followed its lead. NATO is the instrument with which they pursue this goal. Since the dissolution of the Soviet Union, NATO or its members have been waging war practically without interruption. The U.S. first attacked Iraq in 1990. In 1999, NATO bombed Serbia without a UN mandate, in violation of international law, and forced the secession of Kosovo. In 2001, NATO invoked the Mutual Defense Clause for the first and only time and occupied Afghanistan, conducting a war that lasted 20 years and ended with the destruction of the country and the return of the Taliban. Although subsequent wars against Iraq, Libya, and Syria took place outside the official NATO structures, they were supported by most NATO member states. Parallel to the wars in the Middle East, NATO systematically advanced towards Russia and incorporated the whole of Eastern Europe and, with the Baltic states, parts of the former Soviet Union. The world's most powerful military alliance grew from 12 to 32 members. Last year, it spent $1.3 trillion on defense, or 60% of global military spending. The U.S. military budget alone totaled $905 billion, more than the next 15 countries combined. In contrast, China only spent $220 billion and Russia $109 billion on defense. NATO has systematically prepared for war with Russia since 2014, when the U.S. and Germany backed a coup to install a pro-Western puppet regime in Kiev. NATO relentlessly armed Ukraine, ultimately provoking the desperate reactionary attack by the Putin regime in 2022. NATO then waged a war on Russia, using Ukrainians as cannon fodder at the cost of hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian lives that threatens to escalate into nuclear conflict. The madness is rooted in the insoluble contradictions of the international capitalist system. Private ownership of the means of production and the bourgeois nation-state based upon it cannot be reconciled with the global character of modern production, which unites billions of workers in a single social process. The only answer imperialism knows to this is the violent redivision of the world. To wage this war, the NATO imperialist powers must build fascistic police state regimes at home to suppress mounting opposition in the working class and having to bear the cost of militarism and the consequences of the war. The rise of Trump, Meloni, the far-right alternative for Germany, AfD, and other neo-fascists is only the sharpest expression of the rightward development of all bourgeois parties. But the crisis of the capitalist system also creates the conditions for socialist revolution. Fourth International Magazine's April 1949 editorial ended with the words, quote, "The general staffs have carefully calculated all contingencies and eventualities, all but one. That is, the alliance of the peoples of the world who above all want peace, not the maneuverings of the Kremlin, but the class struggle in Shanghai and Indonesia, in Milan, the Ruhr, and Detroit will prove the Achilles heel of this unholy compact of death, reaction, and dictatorship." End quote. These words are as relevant today as they were then. Only an international mass movement of the working class, combining the struggle against war with the struggle against capitalist exploitation, can stop the path to world war and nuclear catastrophe. As Palestinians starve, Netanyahu government attempts face-saving gesture following U.S.-Israel murder of aid workers. By Jordan Shilton. In the aftermath of Monday's targeted killing of 7 World Central Kitchen, WCK, aid workers by the Israel Defense Forces, the White House and media outlets internationally have gone into overdrive to convince everyone that a significant shift in Israel's policy towards Gaza's Palestinians is taking place. Friday's announcement by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu that an additional border crossing for aid deliveries to the north of the Gaza Strip will be opened and temporary deliveries will be allowed to depart Israel's Ashdod port was widely reported as a newfound humanitarian commitment to 2.3 million starving Gazans. In reality, the move is a face-saving gesture aimed at quelling an eruption of popular outrage around the world to Israel's barbaric war crimes, while allowing U.S. imperialism to hypocritically posture as a restraining force in the ongoing genocide. Netanyahu's announcement was closely coordinated with Washington, coming just hours after a phone call between Biden and Netanyahu. Media reports presented the call as tense, with Biden supposedly urging the adoption of, quote, specific, concrete, and measurable, end quote, steps to alleviate the humanitarian crisis. However, leading Biden administration officials, including National Security Council spokesman John Kirby, made clear that there would be no change to the supply of weaponry to Israel and that Washington's support was, quote-unquote, ironclad. Referring to Netanyahu's announcement later Friday, Biden bluntly told a reporter, quote, "I asked them to do what they're doing," end quote. The opening of an extra border crossing and a temporary maritime route into Gaza is a moot point if there are no aid workers to deliver desperately needed food and medical supplies. the Israel Defense Forces stopped all aid deliveries to northern Gaza by the UN Relief Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA, last week. Following the massacre of the aid workers, WCK, American Near East Refugee Aid, ANERA, and the United Arab Emirates, UAE, have suspended aid operations in Gaza. WCK was supposed to have played a central part in the maritime aid corridor from Cyprus that was touted by the Biden administration in March when it announced plans to construct a floating dock off the enclave's coast. The Cypriot government stated Monday that a ship organized by WCK returned from Gaza without offloading the 332 tons of humanitarian aid it was carrying. Data from the Coordinator of Government Activities in the Territories, the Israeli government agency that controls access to Gaza, reveal that WCK was responsible for 60% of non-governmental aid deliveries in Gaza before it suspended its operations. ANERA reportedly delivered an average of 150,000 meals each day since October. The UAE has supplied 25% of all aid from foreign countries. Other aid organizations still operating have underscored that it is more or less impossible to maintain their activities. We go on a mission where we are told we would be safe, and then we are delayed for hours, our staff is interrogated, they are put in harm's way, or they are killed. And that's not acceptable, end quote, commented Tess Ingram, a spokeswoman for UNICEF, the UN Children's Agency. Even if one accepts Israel's propaganda about aid deliveries under Netanyahu's latest announcements, they will continue to fall well short of what is required. Israel Army Radio reported that 350 aid trucks could now reach Gaza each day, up from the current level of 200. This would amount to just 70% of the 500 aid trucks that arrived in Gaza each day prior to Israel's assault. The claim that 200 trucks are currently arriving each day is rejected by independent sources, with Oxfam stating that an average of 105 trucks reached Gaza daily. Since the beginning of Israel's genocidal onslaught, government officials have made no secret about their intention to ethnically cleanse Gaza and use starvation as a weapon of war. From Defense Minister Yoav Gallant's infamous remark describing Palestinians as, quote-unquote, human animals, to former Israeli National Security Council head Jura Island's statement that, quote, severe epidemics in the south of the Gaza Strip will bring victory closer and reduce casualties among IDF soldiers, end quote, and Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich's demand for, quote, the voluntary emigration of the Gaza Arabs to the countries of the world, end quote. The Zionist regime has left no doubt about its determination to kill a large portion of Gaza's population and forcibly expel the rest. In this context, the most plausible explanation is that the massacre of the WCK workers was a carefully considered decision taken at the highest levels of the Israeli state in consultation with Washington, aimed at sabotaging aid supplies into Gaza and thereby escalating the genocide. The three clearly marked vehicles were struck separately along the 2.4-kilometer stretch of road. Biden and Netanyahu are now trying to manage the diplomatic fallout. According to Oxfam, the approximately 300,000 people believed to be stranded in northern Gaza have been surviving on just 12% of the recommended daily calorie intake since January. The 245 calories consumed on average equate to less than a can of fava beans. For the Gaza Strip as a whole, aid deliveries allowed in by Israel since the start of its bombardment account for just 41% of the recommended calories required by the entire population. The aid organization's April 3rd press release noted, quote, "The Israeli government has known for nearly two decades exactly how many daily calories are needed to prevent malnutrition in Gaza, calculating this according to both age and gender within its food consumption in the Gaza Strip," red line document. Not only did it use a higher calculation of 2,279 calories per person, it also took into account domestic food production in Gaza, which the Israeli military has now virtually obliterated, end quote. Figures from the UN and Palestinian Red Crescent Society estimate that 50,000 children are acutely malnourished. Malnourishment has claimed the lives of 31 children so far, with the figure expected to rise as famine sets in. Oxfam International Executive Director Amitabh Behar stated what is becoming increasingly obvious to millions of people around the world. Quote, "Israel is making deliberate choices to starve civilians. Imagine what it is like not only to be trying to survive on 245 calories day in, day out, but also having to watch your children or elderly relatives do the same. All whilst displaced, with little to no access to clean water or a toilet, knowing most medical support has gone, and under the constant threat of drones and bombs," end quote. The bombs supplied to Israel by U.S. imperialism and its European allies continue to rain down on Gaza. At least 54 Palestinians were confirmed dead in the previous 24 hours Friday, taking the official death toll to 33,091. A strike that demolished a house in the Nusayrat refugee camp in central Gaza later in the day killed three. According to UNRWA's latest figures, 62% of all residences in Gaza have either been destroyed or damaged since the genocide began. Amid such horrific crimes, the imperialist powers remain fully committed to participating in the final solution of the Palestinian question. American imperialism supports the genocide as part of a broader plan to wage a region-wide war with Israel's support against Iran, with the aim of consolidating its dominance over the energy-rich Middle East. At a meeting of the UN Human Rights Council Friday, both the United States and Germany voted against a resolution calling for a halt of arms sales to Israel. The non-binding declaration, which passed by 28 votes to 6 with 13 abstentions, also urged that Israel be held accountable for possible war crimes and crimes against humanity in Gaza. Washington and Berlin cannot support such propositions because any genuine war crimes tribunal would have to include President Biden, Secretary of State Blinken, Chancellor Scholz, and Foreign Minister Baerbock alongside Netanyahu in the dock. While the Biden administration has delivered over 100 shipments of high-powered weaponry to Israel since October, Germany increased its weapons shipments tenfold to Israel after Netanyahu's fascistic government launched the genocide. On Monday and Tuesday next week, the International Court of Justice in The Hague will hold hearings in a case brought by Nicaragua accusing Germany of complicity in genocide due to its arms shipments to Israel and declarations by government officials of unconditional support for the Zionist regime as it massacred civilians. For these articles and more, please visit the World Socialist website at www.wsws.org. For the World Socialist website, this has been
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.